This is the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to, you know it, that's right, another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast. Yes.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there will be.
They ain't got the answers. I changed the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm Steve Credo. This is episode 126 of another wrestling podcast.
And I'm Cooter. Sorry, brother. I'm a little out of breath.
Man, you literally ran here from down the road. That's nuts to join us. That's great.
Yeah. What can I do, bro? I mean, when Credo starts calling, Cooter starts running. Glad to be here.
That's right. Well, if you've been listening to us for the past 2 years, Jonathan Benjamin, who is a part of the show, he is not here right now. He is in parts unknown. He will be back in due time. But right now, we're gonna grow the AWP family by welcoming Anthony Cooter to the show. Cooter man, it's great to have you on again this week. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, so nice you had to do it twice, right?
That's right. Well, we'll keep that tradition going, see if we can keep on going each and every week. But for those tuning in right now, we also have coming up Katie Forbes. You might know her from Wildcat Wrestling. She has a lot to say. She's going to be joining us a little bit in the studio. She is the billion-dollar body, Cooter. I can't wait to hear from Katie this show.
Oh, I can't wait to hear from her either. I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely. Whew. Definitely. So if you're tuning in for the first time and you never heard another wrestling podcast, you know, we're not like that other wrestling podcast or those other guys over there. We're another wrestling podcast. Please head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. It's the mothership of AWP. You can find out all of our links. You can like us, follow us, subscribe to us, tweet us, Facebook us, all that fun stuff. We want to hear from you, basically. So tune in to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com for anything and everything AWP. But Cooter man, it's been a crazy week. Let's get into the week that was.
All right, brother, let's talk a little Raw then, shall we?
That's right, man. You know, the biggest thing's going on. You know, every podcast you listen to, they're going to talk about every match that happened on Raw, on SmackDown, on NXT, on TNA, on Ring of Honor, on anything and everything. You know, that's fine and dandy and all, but I just watched the show. I don't need to talk about every match. Let's pick apart the biggest things that happen each week. You know, that's what the week that was is all about. So, you know, the CWC, brother, the cruiserweights are on Raw. What do you think about that? Is it going to enhance that 3 hours? Is it going to give them that little bit of a break they need to showcase these other guys?
Dude, they needed something to break up that show, and they started doing it with the Women's Revolution. I mean, granted, we have other divisions. We have tag divisions. We have the U.S. title on Raw. But the Cruiserweight Classic really started this division and just brought us a whole new element to the show. I just hope that the rumors aren't true, Credo man, with them possibly watering down that product on Monday nights.
I know, man. I think that's what the biggest thing, you know, people are afraid of. I mean, granted, I know these guys have to do it each and every night, you know, 300 plus days a year, and they don't want them killing themselves each and every week on Raw. I mean, I'm sure you'd want to save those big spots for pay-per-views and whatnot, but I don't know. I think it could happen, but at the same time, I think if they do that, you're going to kill what the CWC was. You know, I think people want to see that fast-paced action. And if you're going to make them go two steps slower, I think you're just into back into a regular wrestling match. It's not even the cruiserweights anymore. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely started off that match very slow. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, that's the first thing. My heart sunk, dude, because I was literally thinking they are going to water this down. And this is not what I watched for God knows how many weeks on the WWE Network. I was really looking forward to seeing that product as it was presented on the network. Mm-hmm. But then it just turned into the Cedric Alexander show. My God, this guy is amazing. I can't get enough. I mean, he had some really good spots, and they didn't overdo it. So I think, you know, they might have done something right. Start these matches off slow because, again, you're right. You don't want these guys killing themselves.
Yeah.
But you want them to showcase why they are that division, what is special about that division. And it doesn't always have to be the high spots. Credo, remember this. In that Cruiserweight Classic, we had high flyers. We had grapplers who were amazing. You had Lucha Libre. You had everything. So there's different styles that they can use to really show the benefits of that division.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the biggest thing right now between Raw and SmackDown is Raw has that extra hour. And, you know, granted, that could be good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But I think by adding these cruiserweights right now, at least solely to Raw, I think will help fill the little gaps where they try to keep on stretching the show a little bit, you know, like get rid of some of these stupid backstage segments. I don't need to see Mick Foley 20 times in a night, you know, just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need all that. Like, I want to get to the wrestling, showcase these guys at the top of Raw. That's how you're going to bring in more viewers. Have them as the first match, have another match at the top of the next hour, you know, have them spread apart to break up the show a little bit. You know, to get somebody just flipping through the channels who's never watched it and they land on this during a cruiserweight match, I think you're going to see, you know, a lot more viewers tuning in, hopefully, if that happens. But regardless, I think, I don't know, at the end of the day, I think the cruiserweights are probably going to help Raw a little bit just to, you know, fill that third hour out, you know?
Let me ask you a question, though. Do you feel as if certain guys who aren't getting a lot of television time are now going to get lost in the shuffle? I mean, this is why we did the brand split in the first place, isn't it? Was so that other guys who weren't getting on television got some exposure. But by adding, you know, even more people to that third hour and, you know, a whole new division, in fact, do you feel like someone's going to get lost in the shuffle? Or is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Well, I think they've definitely separated the shows a lot. I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of talent. A lot of guys are, you know, working new programs with guys they haven't worked with before. I don't think, like, I think, you know, the cruiserweight is still going to be minimal. I think we're going to probably see maybe one or two matches, if that, a show. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't think guys will get lost too much as long as they separate that TV time, because I think, you know, I think the one thing that bugs me about the brand split right now, and especially on Raw and SmackDown, you know, both shows, is that I'm seeing too much authority figures. I'm seeing too much, you know, general managers. We don't need to see them at the top of the show every time, or, you know, we don't need long backstage segments with them. I think they just need to be there to help with conflict. You know, have the matches. This was a sanctioned match. We don't need them going at, like, Foley, man. He flubbed his whole line on Raw. Did you see that one?
Oh, jeez.
You know, about introducing the cruiserweights, and I was like, stop talking and just let them wrestle. You know, I was like, that's all you have to do to introduce the cruiserweights. I don't think you need a formal introduction. If you had the network, we've already seen who these guys are. We don't need to, you know, have everybody introduced to the ring again. So I thought the introduction for them was a little drawn out and weak. I figured if you want to introduce these guys to the WWE universe, just let them wrestle pretty much. That's it. Do anything else.
I couldn't agree with you more, especially in terms of seeing too much of the authority figures. And this is something that both brands boasted they were not going to do. So now we have backstage segments, which we always thought was corny to begin with. You know, so every once in a while it's cool, but I mean, almost every backstage segment involves some type of authority figure.
Yeah, and
so I mean, it just drove me absolutely bonkers. I'm just like, enough. I mean, a couple of times it was funny. Like, I loved the Jericho Foley thing backstage with the list. I just couldn't get enough of that. I'm like, I look forward to Raw specifically because I want to see who Jericho is going to call a stupid idiot that week.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing is, like, you know, just going, taking a sidestep with this is that, you know, they have all this, they have live TV on right now. If you want to do backstage segments with, you know, the GMs or the commissioners, you know, do it on your app. Do it on the commercial breaks or something. Don't, like, take away from live TV and giving these guys exposure. So at the end of the day, though, I think if we go back, I think, you know, we'll have to see. It's only been the first week, but we'll see how they really integrate these cruiserweights on Raw. So
let's talk about that main event a little bit, though, that cage match.
Wow. you know, some people are saying, why would you let Roman Reigns win, especially on your brand new title? Win clean. Granted, it was a cage match. It wasn't like a pin or anything, but still, why would you let him win? And, you know, I granted, Roman has paid a lot of his debt. I think he was out with that. He was suspended for 30 days, and after that he jobbed to Finn on Raw. He's done a lot of jobs, I think, lately, and I think he's paid his dues for being out for those 30 days. And granted, this wasn't a clean pin. It was a win for him. I think we'll talk about that more in the Clash of Champions, but I think he needed some kind of momentum, a little bit of a win, something that he can go into the pay-per-view this weekend to, give him some momentum, I guess, because I think he really has. If you look at his win-loss streak lately, they've really been making him pay for that suspension.
Yeah, I don't really mind Kevin Owens taking the job here on this one. I mean, he is just one of those guys where he can have the belt and lose and still not lose his heat because he's just that damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, the part where Rusev comes in and he just starts beating down Roman, I'm literally laughing out loud because you just hear Kevin Owens, "Machka something, Machka something." I'm like, oh my God, where do you come up with this stuff? It's so awesome. I'm dying laughing, and I'm like, the casual fan is just going to be like, oh my God, he's such a jerk. And it's so perfect. So, I mean, I really don't have a problem. But, again, we talked about that last week. All these haters, they just can't get enough of complaining.
That's right. And like I said, if Rusev came out and maybe, stopped Roman from winning on the cage match, held him up so that Owens would have won, that would have been okay too. But at the same time, I think he needs some kind of victory heading into the pay-per-view. So, it was a cage match. He didn't lose clean in a pin or he didn't submit. He just walked out of the cage, 2 seconds after Roman went out. So, whatever. Regardless, though, I think, it was okay.
Yeah, let's talk one more thing before we move on, shall we?
Sure.
Let's talk about this women's triple threat. We got Bayley, we got Sasha Banks, and we got Charlotte for the Raw women's title. Do we really need another triple threat? It seems that almost every other match that is either on Raw or SmackDown is some type of elimination or triple threat. I mean, we just had Mania also had Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch. Now we're just replacing Becky with Bayley, and boy, that was a mouthful. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I love the one-on-one contest. And in my opinion, it almost just seems like they won't let these women work together from the Four Horsewomen unless they're all in the same match once.
Exactly. Well, leaving one out is, Becky on SmackDown. But regardless, I think what their problem is that they don't know how to build a women's feud without it involving the title. They need to either get a women's IC championship or something, because it's almost like they can't put a feud together where these girls are just fighting. And I think the only feud they have going away from the titles is Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax. And that's we'll talk about that too, coming up on Clash of Champions. But it's like they keep building around the women's championship. They need they have so many women now, years ago when they had the women's championship, you only had a few women, there's probably five girls or something fighting for this. And now you have 10 girls on each show or something like that. There's a lot more women today than there was. And granted, not everybody can fight for the championship. I think they just need to come up with unique ways for these girls to have feuds and not have it always be about the women's championship. Maybe one girl and maybe a few girls are working their way up the tier to get to that number one contendership. And then other girls are just feuding because it's just another feud going on. But I think, they keep circling around this women's championship, and it's granted, I get it, but you're going to spread the herd too thin. You know what I mean? You're going to have all these girls fighting for it. Then you have this one girl sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. So they just need to separate these girls away from the championship a little bit and figure out some programs for them or something.
Yeah, pretty much. I couldn't agree with you more on that one, bro.
Yeah, man. But, this weekend happening at a house show on Saturday, the 24th, it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton, number two, the rematch. And now, it's not going to even be televised. It's not going to be on the network. It's not going to be streaming online. It's a house show. For somebody who is, built as the new phenom, the beast incarnate, having this match at a house show, is that good or is that bad?
Yeah, who the hell thought this was a good idea? I mean, we have Orton in this program with Bray Wyatt with an upcoming match at No Mercy, and we're having the rematch where he got his ass handed to him and bloodied by Brock Lesnar at a house show. Again, I agree with you. This is an opportunity to sell not just tickets at a big pay-per-view, but sell subscriptions if it was going to be televised. Brock, whether you love him or hate him, is must-see TV. It's just a fact. And I just don't like the timing of it, let alone it how it's happening at a house show. It boggles the mind, but you know what? Maybe and the other thing is, demographically, I mean, it's in Chicago. It's not like WWE has a hard time selling Chicago. That's one of their best towns.
Yeah. It's almost like they need to go back in time to, like, remember when, you know, you'd see house shows on, like, the MSG network, and you just watch it, you know? Like, couldn't they, and now with their network, if you want more subscribers, why can't they just have, like, hey, you don't have to show the whole house show, because, granted, I know they're all pretty much the same, so it's like you don't want to see the same thing happen over and over, but you know, you're having Brock versus Orton number two, like, couldn't you just have that featured on the network? And that how, you know, that's like an easy, hey, I'm going to subscribe to that because either A, I really like Brock Lesnar and I want to see it, or what, you know what I mean? It's like it just feels like it should be a given, but it's not.
Are the house shows separate yet, or is Raw and SmackDown, or is it just mixed rosters still?
Because no, yeah, they're totally separate, yeah.
They are separate, because the weird thing is Brock is a Raw talent, and if this is a SmackDown show, it's like, well, what the hell was the point of having the brand split?
I
could see them doing at a pay-per-view or a major, you know, like a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam, but, you know, this is just a house show. One, two, you're kind of like blurring the lines of your rosters. It's just weird to me. You know what? If it sells them tickets, you know, good for them. Maybe Brock will be making a comeback soon. He just needs a tune-up. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's just you know, boggles the mind of why would they not want to sell this? Especially, you know, with his run in the UFC recently. You know, he's like he's a sell no matter what you put him on. So it's just funny that they decided to do it at a house show, because I think he's even limited to how many matches he has a year in his contract, and this is just one match they're throwing away from using him. So who knows?
All right. Well, let's talk a little Terry Funk. I guess he was at the House of Hardcore show over the weekend. And did not actually work the show itself.
Yeah, he was scheduled to be at HOH, and, you know, he arrived. He was reportedly too dizzy to actually stay. He was supposed to be in Dreamer's Corner that night during the main event where Dreamer took on Broken Matt Hardy. According
that.
according to reports online, you know, they say he drove to Philly. He didn't get to sleep till 4 a.m. that night. He was signing autographs all day at the convention center. And then he was just worn out by the time the show started. Now, a guy like Funk, who's up there in age, who's done a lot in the business, do you need to have this guy signing all day at a show? Like, just have him, like, sign for 20 minutes or a half hour tops, and whoever didn't get the tickets, then that's it. But, like, a guy this age, like, you're not 20, you're not 30, you know what I mean? Like, you're up there in age, and you know, I'm sure it's finally taking a toll on him, and it's like, you're going to kill this poor guy. He's 72 years old. You know, who knows how long he signed that day, but you know what I mean? Like, it's why? Why? Just bring him in for the show. I'm sure.
You know what it is with Terry? Terry doesn't seem like the kind of guy who needs the money. I think Terry is one of those guys who legitimately does it because he does love the fans. I mean, I remember meeting him. God, it was at his roast, and he's just one of the coolest, calmest, down to earth guys, and who just wants to talk to the people while they were in front of him. I mean, like, he spent like a good couple of minutes just, you know, working the room and talking to people. I mean, he's one of the few guys where you're gonna get your money's worth every time you see Terry, and like, I really have a lot of respect for him, because I mean, we've gone to signings where there are guys who are just absolute dicks, and he's just not one of them. I think it was his call to sign all day because he wants to.
Yeah.
He wants to, you know, like I said, I don't think he needs the money. I think he just wants to be a part of this business in some way, shape, or fashion because he loves the fans.
Yeah, and I just hope, like, you know, a lot of these promoters out there and guys, like, running these shows, I hope they just don't, you know, I hope they could be smart enough to realize, like, hey, this guy's in his 70s, you know, he's done a lot. He's probably not the healthiest guy, especially just for being in the, you know, check out wrestlers in their 70s. You know, they're worn down. They're hurt. Just be more respectful. I think understand that this guy is totally going to do what you said and be up there because he wants to be with the fans all day. But, you know, at the end of the day, is it really worth it all that time to where, like, I think they need to give him to every – or he needs to come out and meet the people in, like, in little bits. Like, make sure he gets rest, you know, have him do, like, a little bit of a signing and then, you know, relax. But I feel like these promoters, all they want to do is grab that money, take their money, make that money off of him, and then that's it. They could care less of what happens to him. So I hope people out there –
You're acting like he's a character at Disney World who needs a break from his costume. You know what I mean? And let me ask you this. If Terry wants to do it, are you really going to tell Terry no? Because, like –
I want to limit Terry.
Kick your ass. Yeah, he'll probably kick your ass if you tell him no.
I know, but hopefully, you know, hopefully these guys look out for these guys in the future at these kind of shows. I mean, understand the age, and I don't know, kind of spread out the work. This guy at his age doesn't need to be signing all day, because he will, and he wants to be with the fans, just like you said. So anyway, I hope he gets better though at the end of the day, and hopefully. You know, some of these other conventions or whatnot, look out for guys like this and understand that as they love the business, they're not going to go anywhere. So just try to, you know, try to limit them a little bit so they don't like die at a show because you're overworking them. But regardless, a lot of things are happening. You know, even on SmackDown this week, Ambrose pinned Cena clean. What does this say for the, is this like a changing of the guard? And I'm not saying it's changing to Ambrose, but you know, Cena is just starting to give back more or what?
I think he realizes his career is winding down. I know he has a lot to offer. And down the road, I think we're finally going to see what the fans have been dying for years. No, not AJ Styles, you know, and all these guys that they're bringing in. It's for Cena to do that heel turn. I mean, and this could be the beginning. We've all had our moments where like, oh, it's going to happen now. Is it going to happen now? No, this might be it. And I hope it happens. And he is finally giving back. I mean, this is the second guy in how many months that he's put over clean. AJ beat him clean. Now Ambrose has beaten him clean. I mean, I remember when Daniel Bryan beat him at, I think it was SummerSlam. And we were all shocked because not only did he beat him, he beat him clean, and like it hadn't happened since. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's good because, you know, a lot of the haters out there of Cena, you know, it's like, you know, oh, when are you going to give back? When are you going to start putting other people over? And granted, you know, he's done a lot. He's put a lot of guys over recently. And But it's nice to see that, you know, it's not like the Cena show. He's actually a part of all these other guys now because, you know, it's a new era. We've heard thousands of times. And granted, you know, I think he has to realize that he can't keep winning as much as he used to. You got to give back, especially I think, you know, even Dean for that win, it kind of is like a nod to where you lost the championship. But hey, we still want you as a top guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you're still there, even though you don't have the championship. But, you know, we don't hate you. You lost. But, you know, hey, you beat Cena clean.
Yeah, I mean, and that, what does that say about, you know, SmackDown? I mean, they're making it a show that's must watch, and you don't know what's going to happen because, I mean, a lot of times where I would see something like this, I would just be like, I'm not watching this shit because I just have a feeling, you know, Ambrose is going to hit him with everything and the kitchen sink and, you know, oh my God, STF, oh, here we go. It's always the same old thing. And now I'm just like, it's a little unpredictable. And SmackDown to me, overall, even if it is shorter, and maybe that has something to do with it, but it's been the better show, and I'm wondering if they're doing that on purpose. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, it's you know, everybody in our group, in the Marks group, if you guys are listening, check us out because we're on facebook.com/group/ProWrestlingMarks. Great conversations from a lot of great marks across the world. Now, every week, you know, we put up threads so people to talk about each show, and every week everybody's saying, wow, SmackDown's a better show, SmackDown's a better show. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I feel like they're almost purposely making it the better show because they just want to boost those ratings up even more because, granted, we were stuck in that rut of Raw's live, I'm watching it, SmackDown's taped, I'll watch it whenever. And it was always like that. So I feel like, you know, even with the name, they put live in the damn name. So I think hopefully that goes away because it's just SmackDown. It doesn't need to say live on it. We're not watching Raw live, are we? But, you know, so yeah. I still think they're trying to get that, you know, that mentality out that, hey, this is live, and that they're making it a must not miss. You know, it's like a must see. You know, did you see Cena lost to Ambrose clean? Like, oh crap, I missed that. So like all these little things, I think they really have built up SmackDown to be a better show than Raw, and I almost feel like it's purposely done that way just to make it another powerhouse. I don't know. I feel like they definitely need it to compete with Raw, even though it's they're competing with themselves. But you know what I mean? Like I definitely feel it's almost purposely done like that recently.
Yeah, you know, they've been doing that on purpose, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, because Raw is, you know, for the next, I don't know what, 15, 16 weeks, is going up against Monday Night Football, and they've always done a lot worse in the ratings, or, you know, and against the NFL and Monday Night Football. So, I mean, this is the perfect time to build that brand, to make it must-watch, because once football season is over, you know, and we hit Rumble season, I mean, the ratings for Raw tend to pick up. So now we might actually literally come January, in Rumble time, actually have a ratings war, because the competition on both those nights would be pretty much even. I mean, football is just, you know, the largest watched, you know, sport in this country. It has to be.
Yep. And they're going to be in trouble too next week. I mean, well, Raw's going to be in trouble because you got Monday Night Football, then you have the presidential debates going on. And then you have wrestling. So it's like you're gonna weed out a lot of people to watch all these other things, and then you're going to have pro wrestling on. So they're probably going to hit a rut for the next few weeks just because of all the things happening in the world right now. But like I said, man, I don't know. SmackDown is definitely, you know, surpassing Raw each week, and it'll be interesting to see what happens down the line with them. But on a more serious note, I want to get into a good friend of the show, Vivian Rosati. She needs your help out there. If you don't know who she is, if you guys remember back in the 80s, the Rosati sisters, they were with Bobby the Brain Heenan on all those shows. You know, she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's been battling it since late June this year. And now, you know, her medical bills are getting out of control. She started a GoFundMe. I feel that anybody listening out there right now, if you could donate a few bucks, $5, $10, $20, come on, I know you got it. I think it would really, really appreciate it from the wrestling fans to help her out. The site is GoFundMe.com/2PWRFWK. But if you can't figure it out, if you can't figure that out or find the link, head on over to our Facebook, Facebook.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast. We posted a link up there. Guys, girls, everybody out there, take the time out. Donate a few bucks. I know you spend it on nonsense anyway each week. How about you help a great pro wrestling fan and somebody who's actually was in the business for a little bit because she was a fan, and help her out. Coming up right now, we have Katie Forbes, who's going to be joining us in the studio, so stay tuned.
The jump off. I've been gone for a minute, now I'm back with the jump off. Goons in the club, case something jump off. You back up for the high, but the pump off. In the graveyard is where you get dumped off. All we wanna do is party. Invite everybody at the bar Bacardi. Black Barbie dressed in Bacardi. I'm tryna leave in somebody's Ferrari. Spread love, that's what a real mob do. Keep it gangsta, look out for my people. I'm the wicked bitch of these. You better keep the peace, or out come the beast.
Now, if you haven't heard about our next guest yet, then you're living under a rock. She is the billion-dollar boo with the billion-dollar body. Since her debut, she has been taking the wrestling world by storm and will soon be a name you will never forget. Katie Forbes is in the house tonight. Katie, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi.
Now, Katie, let's get right into it. What led you into the world of becoming a pro wrestler?
Well, I used to be a fitness competitor, competed in bikini and physique, so I was already very fit, and I was always into athletics before. And so I had met my mentor, Luke Hawks, at the gym. He owns the wrestling school here, Wildcat Wrestling in New Orleans. And so I went and watched a show and fell absolutely in love with wrestling. And I've been passionate about it ever since.
Sure. Now tell us about this. You know, you said you were trained by Luke Hawks. How is that training like for you? You're pretty much in amazing shape as you are. Did wrestling come natural for you?
The athletic side does, because I was a cheerleader, and so I'm good with swimming and things like that. So I'm very athletic, but what was harder for me to catch on to was the psychology behind wrestling, because I did not grow up watching wrestling, and I did not grow up with the plans of being a pro wrestler like most wrestlers do. So I started from scratch. The psychology behind it that I've had to work on the most.
Sure. Now, between 2015 and 2016, women's wrestling has become bigger than I think it ever has been in recent times. As a female wrestler, how do you feel about how far women's wrestling has come, and how does it feel to be a part of this movement?
Yeah, it's awesome how far women's wrestling has come, because women keep up with the men now. I definitely am excited to be a part of it, for where women can be seen as equal in wrestling, where before it was like a divas match and, you know, a men's wrestling match.
Definitely. Now, we mentioned Luke Hawks a little bit. Speaking of him, Wildcat Wrestling is one of your homes away from home. For anybody listening now who hasn't heard about Wildcat Wrestling, what could you tell them about it?
Wildcat Wrestling is based out of New Orleans, and we just got a TV deal starting September 29th here in New Orleans and surrounding areas on WUPL. So it started off as a promotion, and as a wrestling school. So it's a wrestling school and a promotion. And so that is my first, that's the first place that I've wrestled at.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now,
yeah.
You also recently won the RCW Women's Championship, River City Wrestling down in San Antonio, Texas. How does it feel to be their women's champion? And now that you have tasted the gold, does it inspire you to become the best in every promotion you will work for?
Yes, it definitely has inspired me. It was awesome going there and getting the women's championship belt, and I'm going back to defend it on November 4th. And the love from the fans there was awesome. It was such a great vibe, and I love RCW, the show, the setup of it. So to be able to be their champion was really awesome. And so I've been training and preparing for that and my other shows coming up, but it definitely motivated me to train harder.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, next week, for all the fans listening, they can see you on September 29th at the Belasco Theater in downtown LA for a night of superheroes, villains, and world-class professional wrestling. Wow, the women of wrestling, you'll be there. Can you tell the fans what they can expect from you when they see you?
Yes. So September 29th at the Belasco Theater, I am going to be in a title match against Jungle Girl, because I had won last week at Friday Night Fight for Women of Wrestling. And so the match that I had won is was to be a contender in the title match. And so I'm really excited for that, because my opponent has been wrestling 16 years before she had got her championship match. So my first match with them, I won, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to win again and win the title at WOW too.
Definitely. You know, now from all over the U.S. to now all over the world, you are also headed to India as well for CWE on October 12th. Will this be your first time in India?
No, this is my second time in India.
Are you excited to see the fans out there?
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait for that. My last trip to India was so inspiring, and it was the biggest crowd that I wrestled in front of, because one of the shows had over 55,000 people at it. So, it was a huge show, and everybody had a lot of love for Katie Forbes, so mm-hmm. I'm excited to go back again.
Awesome, definitely. Now, like most fans out there, I've given up my $9.99 a month to watch WWE's network. I was watching Breaking Ground this summer, and I happened to notice you training in the back. Anything you could tell us about your experience with WWE at that time?
Yes, that was, I went there for the weekend for a tryout weekend, and we were filming for Breaking Ground then, and that was awesome too. I learned a lot. It was like a seminar, because a lot went into it that weekend. We worked really hard, and it was three long days, and it inspired me even more, you know, mm-hmm. to better myself in wrestling.
Now, also, you know, your boyfriend RVD happens to be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Do you look to him a lot for advice in the ring?
Yes, I do. Because before I had met him, I was, I loved his innovative movesets and everything mm-hmm. like that. So then when I met him, it was cool that we just really vibed. And I look up to him a lot as a person and as a wrestler, too. So it's cool to learn from him.
Definitely. And also, speaking of WWE, you know, they also just finished their Cruiserweight Classic tournament. Some talk about them doing a women's tournament, hopefully, in the near future. I know I would personally love to see you in that. And how would you feel about having a women's tournament, maybe showcasing a lot of the women across the country who are, or, I mean, just across the world, who haven't really been showcased as much? You think that would be, probably be a good idea, too?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I think it's great how much attention that the WWE is giving the women's division and the Divas Revolution.
Becoming a wrestler, training for a wrestler, has there been one piece of advice that you were given that you know that was really good for you, that you know just really got you to the next level?
Yeah, when I first started, I was thinking I had to be such a tough acting, you know, shit talking badass. And then somebody told me, just be yourself, but amp it up, you know? And so then Katie Forbes, I wrestle by my real name. Katie Forbes is who I am. Mm-hmm. And so just being myself and in the ring, that my personality shows through, because real knows real, you know? So people can tell when you're being yourself or when you're playing a wrestler or when you're a real wrestler. So that's the best advice that I've had.
All right. Well, Katie, you know, we barely scratched the surface with you today. I know you're a busy lady. You got a lot of stuff going on. We hope to have you on in the near future. But for everybody listening, can you tell them about social media? Where can they follow you and, you know, hear about you day to day?
Yes. On Facebook, it's Katie Forbes. And it's spelled Forbes like the magazine, F-O-R-B-E-S. Instagram is The Katie Forbes, and Twitter is The Katie Forbes.
All right. Well, Katie, we thank you so much for stopping by today, and we wish you nothing but the best in your future.
Thank you.
This is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast in association with CelebVM. Order a personal video message from me and many other wrestlers and celebrities now. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
That's right. Head on over to celebvm.com/AWP.
Get a personal video message for yourself or as a gift for someone else. For personal connections, shout-outs, birthdays, proposals, weddings, and much more, enter your details about yourself so the celebrity can record a personal video message especially for you, including details such as your name, age, birthday, hobbies, or whatever else you include. As soon as the video has been recorded, you'll get an email with your link so you can share it on social media or download and keep it. Celebrities record videos as and when they can, usually within 2 weeks. But if you want a video for a specific date and it does not look like it will arrive in time, you can cancel it and get an instant refund at the click of a button. There are hundreds of celebrities to choose from and many more joining every day. Search by category or genre. Buy a gift voucher, get updates and offers, and encourage your favorite celebrities to join so they can connect with fans in a fun and unique way, raise money for their charities, and much more. So order your video now for yourself or for someone else.
Celebrity Video Messages and Another Wrestling Podcast team up. Be sure to head on over to celebvm.com/AWP. The main event, Cooter, we're going to be talking a little bit about Clash of Champions happening this weekend. I think we'll start from the bottom and work our way to the top. This is Raw's first exclusive pay-per-view in years. Clash of Champions, let's get right into it. The pre-show match has Alicia Fox, who hasn't done anything or hasn't done shit in a while, versus Nia Jax. What do you think about this? They had a little funny segment a few weeks ago on Raw backstage where, you know, Alicia kind of flipped out on her backstage and actually hit her in the face with something. I forget what she was throwing.
I think it was a sheet pan or something.
Yeah, and it's so funny because if you think about this, Alicia Fox is the veteran out of the two. She's been with the WWE for at least 10-plus years now, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
She's been with them a long time, and they barely use her. And it's a shame because I think she has a lot of potential of just being a top – you know, well, we used to call them divas, but superstar now, women's wrestler. I do not hate anything about Alicia Fox, so I'm glad to see her actually get a match on a pay-per-view, but it's a pre-show match, so whatever. Who do you see winning, and what are your thoughts about this?
All right, you know what's going to happen here. This is going to be a quick beatdown for Nia Jax. I mean, they've been having her face jobbers And Alicia Fox might be a veteran, but in this division, she's just going to be a jobber, unfortunately. Not to say that she isn't talented, but you know what? Like you said, she's been around there. She's been around the block, and we have this, you know, new talent ready to come in and just, you know, take over and show off. So, you know, it's funny because you basically were talking about how everything has been revolved around the title. I mean, it hasn't been a great buildup, but they've been building Nia Jax up very well. Now, the actual, you know, feud isn't all that great, but it's a good way for her to get her feet wet and build her way up to, you know, that next spot in the card for it. Because we all know Nia Jax is a talented wrestler. She's had great matches up against Bayley and Asuka. So looking forward to see what the future holds for her, because I want to see her in a ring with the likes of a Sasha or a Charlotte, because we haven't seen that yet.
No, yeah, definitely. And Nia Jax has been on the other side of facing a lot of jobbers. Now, this is kind of a new thing they brought back recently. Between her and Braun Strowman, they've been receiving a lot of jobbers lately, and I think it's good because you know what? It gets the chance to put them over as an unstoppable force without having to beat up all the roster, you know what I mean? So bringing on these guys in each city that they go to, kind of showing and proving the point that, okay, she's an unstoppable force. Then leading up to a real match like this has, I think is great. Instead of, you know, Nia Jax debuts and then squashes Alicia Fox and then squashes whoever else, you know, and so on and so forth. So I think the use of jobbers are really helping enhance the talent coming in and just, you know, reestablishing them as like a force. So it seems to have been a little bit of an experiment, and it seems to have worked.
You could see from where she started in NXT towards the end of her run in NXT, it's a complete 180. I mean, she knew how to use her size, you know, what moves would be best for her. But in terms of just ring psychology, that's something that came to her later on, and she's gotten very good.
No, yeah, definitely. She's definitely improved. I think she still has a long ways to go, but regardless, this is where she starts. She's starting at the bottom right now in the pre-show, so I think that's good. It's a good start, but I don't think, other than that, you know, I don't think it's going to be a long match. I think it's going to be a quick, you know, 5-10 minute match or something like that. So we'll see. I think it's a different way to open up the pre-show, and we'll see what happens. But I think at the end of the day, I think we're going to see Nia Jax win this, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it.
Exactly. Now, you know, what we talked about earlier, Roman Reigns is going to be fighting Rusev for the United States Championship. So this is the Clash of Champions. Pretty much all the championships are on the line on the Raw brand. So like we said earlier, Cooter, I said, you know, Roman Reigns needed some kind of momentum going into this weekend. He hasn't really won a big match lately. Giving him that little bit of a win over a non-title defense going into this weekend, I think gives him that you know, that little bit of a step to actually beat Rusev for the United States Championship. I'm thinking at the end of the day, Roman Reigns is going to walk out of Clash with the United States Championship. I don't know. I will smash
my TV if that happens. I swear to God. I mean, Rusev has been such a great dominant champion, and he's just so much fun to watch in the ring, and he's just hilarious on the microphone. I can't get enough of Rusev, but Roman, I'm like, I'm still on the fence. Like, I want to like Roman. He just doesn't do it for me. I just sounded like Chris Jericho. It. I don't know, but I don't want to see this Rusev title reign end. I really want him to keep this momentum going, and he's just built up such a great presence and character. It would be a shame to reward Roman Reigns with the U.S. title just because, you know, we couldn't put the belt back up after he got suspended.
No, yeah, I hear you, but I almost feel it's like, I think this might be a Vince call, because Vince really loves Roman and really wanted him to be the WWE champion. And then at some point, I'm sure they really wanted him to win that Universal Championship. And then, you know, the influx of new guys came in, kind of took him off his tier a little bit, especially with that, you know, 30-day wellness violation. So It'll be interesting, needless to say. I think Rusev, you know, he's a powerhouse, and he was always a powerhouse until he fought Cena at WrestleMania 32, where he lost the United States Championship to John Cena. And then down from there on out, you know, he wasn't the same anymore. So I feel like he's actually back where he belongs as that powerhouse. And, you know, part of me really wants Rusev to win, but I think at the end of the day, I don't know. I think Roman's going to win that championship.
No way. Rusev uses the camel clutch, a.k.a. the accolade. I'm always going to root for Rusev, baby.
All right. Well, you know, hey, we'll see what happens, but moving right along. The New Day, the champions versus the club. For the tag team championship, the Raw tag team championship, regardless, I'm not going to even get in too much into this. I want the club to win. I think the New Day has far beyond stayed champions too long, and it's time. It's time to lose them.
You're getting sour on the New Day, Carito. Really?
I'm like, trust me, it's starting to hit that point of just, it's old now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, they're not even funny, as funny as they were. It's just, I think they really need to be the ones chasing for the championship and not the ones as the champion. It's been over a year, man. It's over a year and a few months now. So it's, I don't know. I think we need fresh faces. I think the club coming in, I think they honestly should have won them at SummerSlam. They really should have, you know, had that momentum. You know, they came in from New Japan, and I don't know. I think they really need that championship, especially if you have the club having the tag team championship, and then over on SmackDown you have AJ Styles as the champion. That just makes the club, once again, one of the most dominant forces in pro wrestling all across the world. So I don't know. I don't think the New Day needs them anymore. I think I want to see Gallows and Anderson with these straps, and granted they haven't, you know, been around for that long to maybe respectively earn them in a way, but I think they need to show that they are dominant, and I think having them win the championships will put that dominance back where it's needed, and have them stop doing stupid, you know, stupid skits with eggs and balls and all that stuff. I think they, oh, I don't know. Yeah. I want to see a more dominant club.
I've been real tired of that, and that's why I love that promo they cut this week when they came out, you know, face to face with the New Day. Yep. That's the club that we need. That's the club that we want. And I agree with you. I'd love to see them win. I'm glad they did not win those titles when they were doing all that corny stuff. Yeah. You know, I want to see like a dominant heel team. I mean, we're past the days of the cornball unless it's done correctly. So I'm going to agree with you, man. I mean, I love the New Day, but it is time.
It is time. Yeah, I mean, I really have nothing really else to say about this match except for, I just want to see new champions. I really want to see the club win this. I think, I don't know, because you reach a point where you're just champion for too long that I just don't care anymore. And I don't care about the New Day anymore. I think they need to lose it, and then they need to start chasing them, chasing the champions. Even all the way to, I would like to see the club, I would like to see even the New Day, you know, go all the way to WrestleMania and then maybe win them at WrestleMania back. But other than that, I don't think they need them anymore. I think they're beyond the championship, you know?
I kind of got a feeling we're going to get a swerve.
Yeah.
I really do, because I really feel like the club is going to come so close to winning those titles. And I have a feeling, retired or not, I got a feeling the Dudleys are going to come out and screw them over. I just have that feeling. I would hope something like that would happen, because that's one of the feuds I really wanted to see before they left, was the club versus the Dudleys.
I don't know. I think they're really done, but, you know, like I said, anything could happen. It is pro wrestling, so we'll see what happens. But it'll be interesting. I think at the end of the day, we're both agreeing the club's going to win.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Chris Jericho versus Sami Zayn. There's really nothing behind this match. There's no championship involved, but two of the greatest wrestlers of all time, probably, going against each other. Chris Jericho, undoubtedly one of the greats, versus Sami Zayn, who still has a lot to prove, but he's still a talented wrestler. What do you think we're going to see in this match?
Oh, I really don't know what to expect with this. I mean, Jericho is having probably one of the best runs of his career, in my opinion, right now. I mean, just on the mic, and even certain matches with guys who are half his age, a lot younger than him, and he's keeping, you know, pace. I mean, that one match that he had with AJ Styles, no, AJ Styles is no spring chicken either, but, I mean, he's way faster than Chris Jericho, especially that pot belly of his. But that being said, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if Sammy's going to slow down for Jericho so they can actually have a pretty decent match.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I think, you know, Jericho is still at the point of his career where he just really needs to put a lot of guys over. He doesn't need a championship. He doesn't really need anything else except for just putting people over. Granted, you know, one of the greats of all time, can't, you know, take that away from him. But at this point, he like even when he beat AJ Styles at WrestleMania, I was like, come on. He does not need that. You know, and it's like Jericho could lose every match he has for the rest of the year, even into next year, and he would still be one of the greats. I just feel that he has a lot to offer to these young guys, especially Sami Zayn, and putting them over. So I think that's his only role that he really needs to focus on right now is putting these young guys over. And I really, you know, I just don't want to see Chris Jericho win at all anymore.
Now, you say that he didn't need that, and you know, I agree with you, but at the same time, I think AJ Styles needed to lose that match, and my only reason for that is just because. Look at the resurgence he had the night after Raw. I mean, he literally got a shot up against Roman Reigns and earning a title shot. I mean, you know, it was building his character with perseverance, and it's just like, I'm not going to quit, and he got there. So, I mean, it was just a hell of a match anyway. So, I mean, we can agree to disagree, but I really have a feeling that Sami Zayn is going to take this one.
I think he really needs that win, man. I think he's had a lot of misses lately, and he hasn't really had anything to give him, you know, that little bit of a step, that little bit of a boost to the next big thing. And, you know, I'm not saying he needs to fight for the Universal Championship tomorrow, but I think he just needs this win and then, you know, put him in a United States Championship contendership. Put him, you know, put him in that kind of thing to work his way up more. And I think beating Chris Jericho will definitely, you know, etch his name in his resume a little bit more and give him that confidence. I think that will lead him to greener pastures. But
yeah, I agree with you. It really feels like he's stuck in like Daniel Bryan land, where yeah. Where Daniel was so loved by the fans, and Sammy is too, but he was just forced below that glass ceiling, and no matter how hard he tried, they wouldn't let him bust through. And so he forced them. And I hope Sammy doesn't have to work as hard as Daniel did to get there, but you know, I have a feeling they're going to really put the boots to him and really make him work for it.
No, yeah, definitely. I think it's not going to be – I don't think it'll be a classic match, but I think it'll be an enjoyable match. But either way it's definitely something different for us to see. Like I said, it's Clash of Champions, and there's no championship involved in that one, but no big deal. It's a nice little break. Moving right along, Cooter, the Women's Championship. We have Charlotte defending against Bayley and Sasha Banks. Now, Sasha just lost it at SummerSlam. Back to Charlotte. Sasha had a little bit of downtime. She had some problems, some injuries, some nagging injuries she had to take care of. So she was away for just like a week or two, not even. Came right back and decided to challenge her again. And now we got Bayley in the mix. I don't know. I think Charlotte's already up at that point where she just does not need this championship right now. She's already had it for so long. It's not going to hurt her if she loses it. I think she's still one of the top women they have, and I don't know. I definitely don't think it's Bayley's turn, but I would love to see Sasha Banks back with the championship, see what she can really do with it now.
Sasha Banks, you sound like somebody I know. I just can't go there. I am she is a very special talent, and it's a shame that she had to drop that belt so quickly because she has some great momentum going, especially with the fans. But there's nobody in this match who's more over than Bayley. I mean, she's just – everybody loves her.
You don't think it's too soon though? I mean, I don't know.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if Charlotte wins, everyone's going to boo. If Sasha Banks, you know, it's going to be like, I don't know, a 70-30 split because there are a lot of people who really don't care about Sasha.
Yeah.
You know? This is one of the ones where I'm just going to watch and enjoy the match. I really don't care who wins. But, I mean, I love Charlotte's lengthy title reign. I really love this. It's just like – because we get to the point where, all right, the belt just switched off of Sasha, went back to Charlotte. We don't want to have another, you know, situation where we're in the 90s where the, you know, the WWE title is switching hands, you know, every other week. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the title's got to mean something, and you got to have these lengthy title reigns in order for that to happen. So that's just my opinion. So just for the sake of making a pick, I'm picking Charlotte.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm still thinking that, you know, they only gave it back to Charlotte because they thought Sasha was going to be out longer than expected. So I think even having Sasha beat Bayley, it makes, you know, doesn't make, I don't think it's elimination. I know they always like to change these rules last minute, like, oh, now it's an elimination, but I'm figuring it's a three-way, triple threat match. So I'm thinking if you have Sasha Banks, make Bayley submit, you kind of put them in a little bit of a feud too now, a build up for that. And, you know, Charlotte still looks strong. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to have to say Sasha Banks is going to be taking that women's championship again for the women's championship of Raw, I guess. I don't, they haven't even called it the Raw Women's Championship, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Now, hey, the best of seven series is coming to a close. Cesaro versus Sheamus. Who do you want to win? And who do you what happens to the winner? They get a title shot, right? But they didn't say when it's going to happen. But Mick Foley promised them whoever wins it is going to get that title shot against the champion. So who do you see winning, or who do you want to win?
You sure you want to know?
I kind of do, yes.
All right. I don't care. Oh. I just want the series to be over. I can't stand it anymore. I mean, a best of three is good. A best of five, maybe, but a best of seven, like, that was done in WCW and was special really one time. And they've tried to recreate this magic with another feud, and off the top of my head, I can't think of it, but it's like, all right, enough is enough. You know, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything where a guy goes down 0-3 and then wins three straight. It's a little unbelievable. It's a great little comeback, but I mean,
yeah,
it's just too long because we
had it too long for sure.
Two different pay-per-views, and maybe what now? It's going to be five Raws, and so I mean, this feud's been going on like over a month.
I know, and like,
blow my brains out.
And now I kind of like it because I like it that it was something different, like to where they're not fighting over a championship. They're not fighting for a one night only. Like, I kind of like how it was like a mini tournament between them. But yeah, best of seven, maybe a best of five, best of three or something. Like, it doesn't need to be like that. Best of seven is too long in this day and age. Too many matches, too drawn out. But I don't know. I'm pulling for Cesaro, man. I really hope they actually shine the light on this guy and give him some credibility. Give him what he, you know, what the fans want. The fans love him. The fans are behind him. Give him that shot, man. I would love to see sometime between now and next year Cesaro as your Universal Champion or your WWE Champion, whatever show he's
Whoa,
on.
Oh, that's a bold statement, my man.
From now till next year, I want him to be a champion.
Wow.
Beyond the United States, beyond the Intercontinental Championship, I want to see him hold the main title. So I hope this leads to it.
I love Cesaro, and I see him up there, you know. As much as I like him, I have always liked him in tag teams better. I mean, him and Tyson Kidd were great. I mean, back in the days with him and I think it was Chris Hero, I think when they were called the Kings of Wrestling, he's just compliments people who he works with so well. And I've always preferred him that. Now, not to say that he shouldn't have a great singles run. He should. But, I mean, he definitely should be getting the nod over Sheamus, who, like, at this point, I just want to go away. Like, I'm done with the big red Sheamus.
Yeah.
Look stupid chance. Like, all right, just please. You don't do anything that's impressive anymore.
Yeah,
he's like the Irish John Cena with, like, five moves, and I just – ugh.
Yeah, he definitely needs something, like a little bit of a makeover, something different. But yeah, he's starting to fade fast, especially with all this new talent coming in that are outshining him in the ring a little bit. So I don't know. I think he definitely needs to do something, and something probably fast. But at the end of the day, is Cesaro winning this?
Oh, absolutely. I hope so. All right. It needs to happen.
All right. Well, we're almost into our main events. I guess this could be both main events, but this match will probably be the first match of the show, regardless. But the newly crowned Cruiserweight Champion, TJ Perkins, will be facing the Brian Kendrick for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. He literally just won it last Wednesday, and now he has his first title defense this weekend. The Cruiserweights, I mean, these guys, both of them put on one hell of a performance on the CWC, the Classic. What do you think? Is the title going to change hands just one week after, or are we going to see TJ Perkins hold on to it for a while?
Oh, I definitely feel like they have to build this kid up, because if you're going to build a division, you got to build it with a dominant champion. And TJ Perkins just looked so resilient, just a great overall performer, can do it all. I mean, he's a great grappler, you know, great submissions, high flyer, great striker. Obviously has some knowledge of mixed martial arts, because I just remember the Kota Ibushi match where he was checking kicks, you know, just a really, really good performer. And who better than the Brian Kendrick, you know, this crazed veteran who's had a great tournament in his own right to go up against. I mean, it was the perfect pick, because you don't want to be – Kendrick is a guy who can – how do I want to say this? You don't want the division to blow its load, you know, in a first title defense against somebody like Cedric – Alexander, who's the future of that division, or a Rich Swann or a Grand Metalik. So, I mean, to put the wily veteran in there was the perfect choice. And I'm telling you, I think that's going to be one hell of a match.
No, yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a great match. I think the match you really need to start the pay-per-view off, just to get the people really excited, or at least put it in the middle of the show to get those people back up into speed of, you know, loving what they're seeing. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's 50-50. At the end of the day, it's like 50% of me is like, well, they'll probably switch the title that quick. And it's almost, I feel like, and it's still too early to tell what's going to happen, but a part of me is almost thinking in my head that this is almost going to be treated like a hardcore title, to where that since the cruiserweights move so fast, the championship will move around a lot. So as stupid as that saying is, and you could quote me, I could see Brian Kendrick winning it. And then, you know, this championship alone could be that championship that, okay, somebody could literally win it every few weeks in a way. You know what I mean?
But
the other part of me thinks that, you know, yes, this is a newly brought in championship. The last guy who had it was Hornswoggle, so you know they actually want to do this good. So, you know, let's face the facts that he was the last cruiserweight champion before TJ Perkins. So, I think they definitely want to, you know, cement its legacy better than what it was. And at the same time, you know, I feel like they won't move it around as much, and it'll be just like any other championship, to where, you know, every few months or whatnot. But I don't know. It's so early to tell. I have no idea how they're going to treat it, but at the end of the day, man, this is going to be one hell of a match, and definitely a must not miss. I think it's going to be an easy win for TJ Perkins, in a way that, you know, he's going to hold on to that championship for a little bit.
All right, let's talk about this main event, Credo. We got Kevin Owens, the Universal Champion, versus Seth Rollins in the main event. I mean, what more could you ask for?
No, that's it, man. It's so nice to see and say that Kevin Owens, the Universal Champion, whether it's Universal or WWE Champion, whatever, he's the main champion of Raw. This is it, man. Two of the best wrestlers in the world right now, two of the best talkers on the mic, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, in the ring. Seth Rollins is going through kind of a slow face turn. They're doing it right. They're not doing it like automatically, like, hey, I'm a good guy now. Like, it's a slow progression, but it's definitely kicking in. And you know, Kevin Owens has always been the bad guy. He's always the heel, and that's great. You know, seeing these two, I can't wait to see what these two have for each other. I don't see Seth winning. I still see Kevin Owens is going to retain that championship. I think we'll probably even see an appearance from Triple H screwing Seth Rollins out of this match. But I think it's going to be one hell of a match. And I don't know. I think Kevin Owens is going to walk away with the championship still.
You have the longest reigning Universal Champion versus the CrossFit Jesus in the main event. I what more could you ask for? This is fantastic. I have to agree with you and disagree with you. I see Kevin Owens winning. I don't see a Triple H appearance coming just yet. I hope not. I think they should drag it out to a little bit more of a bigger pay-per-view, because that's a big draw. I mean, Triple H versus Seth Rollins. I mean, how close
are we to... That's going to be Mania, man. I tell it. I feel like it's going to be work its way all the way to Mania.
You think they're going to draw it out that long?
Yeah, I know it's still a long time away, but I don't know. I figure he could screw with him and, you know, do something for a long time. And, I mean, I don't know. Well, at least the big four. At least Survivor Series, the Rumble, or Mania. We'll probably see a match or something between them two. But I don't know. I think, you know, Triple H comes around that once a year. So I think for Mania, it could be Rollins versus Triple H. We'll see.
Let's hope we don't see Seth Rollins try to pull that powerbomb into the turnbuckle with Kevin Owens, because that ring might collapse if that happens. I'm just saying.
Seth Rollins, man, he's definitely had a bad rap for hurting guys recently, so hopefully nothing like that happens. It's actually been 1 year since he's hurt Sting, and Sting had to retire, so it's here we are, full circle now, 1 year later. You know, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, man, I think as Raw's first solo pay-per-view, it goes to show you that why they needed that brand split. Look at this card, and then look at the card we saw at Backlash. Both were stacked. Both were awesome. It just goes to show you the abundance of talent they have nowadays. And, you know, by splitting them up, they all get more time to do what we love, and, you know, pro wrestling. We get to see more of that and nothing. And where somebody doesn't get cut because they don't have time, or something's rushed. Like the last pay-per-view for SmackDown, that ended at like 10:30, and I'm like, that's it? You know, I'm like, wow, you don't realize it, but these guys definitely got longer matches. They get more time to tell that story, and it's I think this brand split is definitely worth it this time around. And I don't know. I'm excited for this weekend.
Yeah, it was a shorter pay-per-view, but that was the thing. I didn't really mind it because – I think anything more than 3 hours for, like, you know, a brand-friendly or a brand, you know what I mean. I think anything for just a single brand pay-per-view, anything over 2.5-3 hours is just too much. So it's timed perfect, and I don't have a problem with it because we're getting more pay-per-views now on top of it. So it's like, all right. The cards are going to be a little bit smaller. The matches are going to be a little bit better, and you're going to get more cards. So it spreads it out a little bit better. I think it was really the best move they could have done.
No, definitely. I'm excited. Hopefully we'll see how we did with predicting some of these matches. But at the end of the day, man, it's another wrestling podcast. And Cooter, man, I couldn't thank you enough for joining the family, so to speak. And we have many more weeks to hear from you.
Thanks for having me again, brother. I'm looking forward and seeing what the future brings.
Well, tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.